Yeah.
Okay, good afternoon. What's that?
I don't think anybody's willing to touch them. They're pretty smudgy.
Ah, all right. You know what? They'll dry in a couple minutes, so they won't dry.
They will not dry.
In that case, we'll do it orally, be real tershah b'peh, which is really the discussion today. So the question I want to raise this afternoon with you is, why do Jews argue so much? Does anyone disagree with that?
Yes.
We don't argue.
Ah, see? That was a trick question. All right, you caught on. You caught on right away. So the fact is, Jews argue plenty, and Chazal, in Avot, related to this. Komachloka chila shem shemaim sofalit kayem. All right, that's like Beit Hillel Beit Shammai. Any machloke that's L'Shem Shemayim will endure. So will endure is actually a strange phrase if you think about it. Will endure means it won't end. You would think a machloke L'Shem Shemayim should be resolved also. No, it's exactly opposite. Sofal hitkayim as opposed to machloke L'Shem Shemayim. That ain't a sofal hitkayim. So what then do we understand? How do we understand this completely? How does this contribute to Klal Yisrael? It would seem that machlokot are the foundation of Talmud Torah. There are thousands of the Gemara, tens of thousands since then. You see, even Jewish life in Israel is rife with machlokot on a variety of topics: kashrut, giyur, Shabbat, Pesach, etc. And I want to ask this question, besides the general one. Is a machloket a lechatchila or is it a bidiyavad? Meaning, does the Torah tolerate machlokot or does the Torah encourage machlokot? What do you think?
Encourage.
Encourage. Yeah, that's good. That's good. So that would only fly in the face of the Gemara that attributes the growth of machlokot to a certain change in Jewish society. So Shimshu called Sarkan, Talmidim of Hillel and Shammai. And of course, it also flies in the face of the reality that there were no machlokot that could not be resolved until the era of the Zugot. The Mishnah in Chagiga, Daf Tetzayin, Amud Aleph, and Amud Bet discusses the machlokot over Smicha B'Yom Tov. So if that's the case, it would seem to indicate that machlokot arose only later in life, later in Jewish history. Whereas for well over a millennium, or close to a millennium at least, there were no machlokot that could not be resolved. The Sanhedrin were paskin, and so it was. Now, it would seem to engender the conclusion that machlokot are part of the system, something that we read in the Torah just a few days ago. It's the Gemara Chagiga, Daf Gimel Amud Bet. There the Gemara quotes the pasuk at the end of Kohelet, "Devrei Chachamim Kador Vonod Uchamasmeret Netuim Balei Asupot Nenu Merechod." So Balei Asupot, the masters of assemblies, is a reference to Eilu Tamid Chachamim. These are Tamid Chachamim Sheyoshvim Asufot Asufot. They sit in assemblies, Veoskim Torah, and involved in Torah study. Halo Mitamin, Halo Mitarin. Some say Tamei, some say Tor. Halalu osrim, halalu matirin. Some say osir, some say mutter. Halalu poslin, halalu machshirin. Some say posel, some say kosher. Shema yomer adam, heichani lamei Torah me'ata. How am I supposed to learn? There are all these different opinions out there. He says yes, he says no. Talmud lomar, kulam nitnu meroi echad. They all came from one shepherd, capital S, meaning God. Kel echad nitanon, one God gave this entire Torah that encompassed all these opinions. Parnas Echad Amaron, one leader, meaning Moshe Rabbeinu, spoke them to us. Mipi Adon Kalam Asim Baruch Hu, from the Master of all, the Creator, Yichtiv, and this is the pasuk we read on Shavuot morning. Vayedaber Elokim Et Kol Hadvarim Ha'ela Lemar. God said all these things, not just Hadvarim Aseret Hadvarim, the Decalogue, but Kol Hadvarim, everything that was to be said in the realm of Torah. And this is indicated also by a famous Yerushalmi in Masechet Peah, the second parak. Va'alehem kechol advarim, alehem kechol advarim includes again Mikra, Mishnah, Talmud, Agada, afilu mashe talmid vatik atid laharot lefnei rabo, kvar nemar lemoshe b'sinai. even what a veteran, experienced, knowledgeable Talmud would speak before his Rebbe, that was already said to Moshe Rabbeinu. That's quite expansive, by the way. Everything a Talmud Vatik, Otid Lahor Lifnei Rabbo, Moshe Kvar Nemar Lesinai. That seems very, very broad. Of course, it's general, although from the language of the Yerushalmi, it would seem more specific. Think of the Gemara Menachot Daf Chavtet, which tells a story about Moshe Rabbeinu being time machine transported into the future, sits in the back of Rabbi Kiva's Beit Midrash, and doesn't understand the discussion at all of what's taking place, until he heard Rabbi Akiva answer a question by saying, that is Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. And then at Kara Daita, he became satisfied with what was said, Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, because then he was able to trace the evolution from what was told and said at Sinai, from that mitzvah, to the particular application that Rabbi Akiva was talking about so many, many centuries later. Of course, you shouldn't think, therefore, that everything any Jew ever says, for Nemar L'Moshe Misinai, Jews say, or Bisinai, Jews say a lot of crazy, foolish things. It doesn't mean that anything any Jew says has merit, or Kfar Nemar L'Moshe Bisinai. Note the language of the Rishalmi. Kol Masha Talmid Vatik Atid Lehorot Lefnei Rabo. The two key phrases here. One is Vatik, meaning someone who's a bardat, someone who understands, someone who's learned. And then he has a theory. He has some exposition on Torah. And where does he share it? Not on YouTube, not on the internet, not in the media, but Lefnei Rabbo. He shares it with his Rebbe, so therefore the Rebbe becomes a filter for this Talmud Vatik, which ideas, even chidushim, even innovations, are part of the system and which are outside the system entirely. All right, so from this perspective, it also seems like a very rosy scenario, something we don't associate with machlokot, which always should strike us as a bit chaotic, but according to this, it's the way it's supposed to be. Moshe knew every variation that would eventually happen, either directly or indirectly, in whole or in part, and Vayedaber Elokeim et kol hadvar me'ele. God also encompassed all of this, all the possibilities in Torah at Sinai as well. And yet, there's a famous Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Pechet Amud Bet, that puts a different spin on it altogether. So Rabbi Yossi says and explains, why is it that there were no machlokot until the era of the Zugot? Rabbi Yossi, Mitchila lo hayu marbin machlokot b'Yisrael. At the beginning, there were not many machlokot in Israel. There are differences of opinion, that does exist. But Ella Beitin shall shivim ve'echad yoshvim lishkar agazit. You had the Beitin of 71, meaning the Sanhedrin, sitting on the Harabayit. And you had two other Bataydin of 23. Also, one al Petach Harabayit, one al Petach Hazara. And then he had other Bataydin of 23, B'chol Ayirot Yisrael, and other cities as well. So let's say a question, a dispute, a disagreement, a suffix would arise. Everyone would go to the local Beit Din in order to resolve it, meaning they'd ask a Shiloh. If the Beit Din knew, they would answer. If not, they would go up the chain to the larger Beit Din, and then al Petach Harabayit, Petach Hazara, and if no one had any conclusion at all, they would come to the Lishkar Agazit, to the Sanhedrin, and then Nishala Shela Bifnehem, Im Shamu Amrulahem. If they knew, meaning that Adam and Zohar, they would answer. Vim Lav, Omdim Liminyan. They would take a vote. Rabu Hamitamim Timu. Rabu Hamatarim Tiaru. Whatever the vote was, Tomei Tor, that would be the halacha. And now we understand why there was no machlokot. Because any issue that arose, any question that could not be resolved immediately, eventually it would go up the appellate ladder until it reached the Sanhedrin, and then it would be resolved. So one question we have to ask ourselves is what went wrong? And the second question we have to ask ourselves is what happened then in that first machloket? So the Gemara says in the Chagiga, Daf Tes Zayin, the inyan of Smicha B'Yom Tov, Yosef ben Yoezer Omer Shelo L'Smoch, Yosef ben Yochanan Omer L'Smoch. Yosef ben Yoezer said, you're not allowed to smicha on Yom Tov. Smicha is a reshut. It's optional. Animal is muktzah. Yosef ben Yochanan said l'smoch. Yoshua ben Prachya said lo l'smoch. Nitar Bailey said l'smoch. And it went generation to generation. Until finally, Shammai Omer lo l'smoch. Hillel Omer l'smoch. And then the Mishnah adds, somewhat cryptically, Harishonim ayu nesiim. The first mention in each pair was the Nasi. The second mention in each pair was the Av Beit Din. And Rashi says here, Zoe machloket rishon shahayta b'chachma Yisrael. This was the first machloket ever. They couldn't resolve it. So you ask a question. Why couldn't they resolve it? Take a vote. It was the Sanhedrin. Take a vote. Take a vote and it's resolved. No. It carried on dor achar dor. Why would that be? Well, in answer to the first question, what went wrong, the Gemara back in Sanhedrin explained, Mishurabu tamid eshamai v'hillel, shelosh shemshu kol sarkon, rabu machloket b'Yisrael, v'nasei tor kishtei torog. When the Talmidim of Shammai and Hillel, who did not fully be mishamesh, tend to learn from their rebellion, when they became numerous, then machlokot grew exponentially in Israel. V'nasei tor kishtei torot. The Torah became two torot. What are we up to now? I would say a good 20, 30, 40 torot, because there's so many machlokot. So what happened that the Talmidei Shammai v'Hillel, I'll note, by the way, the Sanhedrin still existed in their time. Beit Shammai Beit Hillel were in the generation or two right before the Churban. Hillel died in the year like around 30, 35 of the Common Era, so maybe 35 years before the Churban. Shoshim Shukol Tzarkon. What does it sound like? So the Marsha says that Shimus Tamin Chachamim Shor Shumakor Lima Torah Burya. The only way to really learn Torah is not from a book. You have to hear it from a Rebbe. Books help, but you have to hear from a Rebbe. If you just go by book knowledge, basically it's just you and the idea, and you have no way of measuring the veracity of that idea against anything else. So therefore, you need a Rebbe. And they were not able to do that. V'dat kol echad mehem nirei ketorat emet. And then each one assumed that the Torah they were teaching was Torah emet, the Torah of truth. So what indeed went wrong with Beit Shammai Beit Hillel? Note, how many machlokot did Shammai and Hillel have? Do you know?
Not a lot.
No, very little. Shammai and Hillel, so the Mishnah Eviot counts three. That's it. Beit Hillel, Beit Shammai, had over 300. Alright? And then you find every daf of the Gemara is machlokot. So we're already in the thousands after that. So Shreiragon, who died around the year 1000, the father of Haigon, wrote a famous Igaret. It's called, strangely enough, Igaret Rav Shreiragon, because he wrote it. And what he did is he traced the history of the Torah Shebaal Peh, essentially, in rabbinic authority, and he writes that once the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, and they went to Beitar, then Beitar was destroyed, Vidbadu Rabban al-Chol Tzad, the Rabbanim began to scatter in every different direction. And even before the Churban took place, you had decades and decades of upheaval, of tumult in Jewish life. Mishum hanach mumod u'shmadim v'shibushim shabotot yo'izman lo shim shatamidim kol tzarkon u'fishu machloket. Because of the Talmidim Beit Shammai Beit Hillel, they too were buffeted by the winds of catastrophe that was impending. They couldn't learn as much. They didn't have Yishuv Adat. So they didn't really chop what Shammai and Hillel were saying, and machlokot arose. The machlokot arise when you have a new situation, not something old, but a new situation, and you don't know what your Rebbe said because you didn't listen carefully enough. You didn't understand his svarot. So therefore, you mistake what was said or assume wrongly, and that's what happened. So the key is Shimush Talmidei Chachamim. You know, the Gemara says in Brachot, I think it's Memzayim Memched, the Gemara says there that Afilu Kar Vishana, a person knows all of Tanakh, knows all Mishnah, knows all Gemara, V'lo Shimesh Talmidei Chachamim, and he didn't learn from a Rebbe, what's he called? An Amaretz. because his learning, by definition, is going to be flawed. It can't be any other way. So if the Gemara, it would seem that machloket is a bidiyavad, all right, is a bidiyavad, which of course begs another question. If it's machlokot came about bidiyavad, then how do we know what we're doing is correct, is true? Maybe we're wrong. So here Chazal say it's a medrash in Kohelet on the pasuk I quoted before, Divrei Chachamim Kadar Vanot. A darban is a goad, a prod that keeps the animal on the derech. But Chazal darshined in Kohelet Rabbah, Kador Banot, Kador Shel Banot. Think of a rubber ball. When you toss a rubber ball to someone, the ball doesn't lose anything. It's not losing any rubber. The receiver catches it intact, all right? It's like a football, a baseball. Nothing is being, or basketball, nothing is being deprived on the ball itself. Chazal say that's the Mesorah. You shouldn't think the Mesorah is like a game of telephone where you garble a message and then by the end no one understands what the original message was. Like the Rambam counts in his Hakdama to the Mishnah, there are really 40 geniuses. That's all, 40. From Moshe until Rav Ashi, encompassing maybe 16, 17, 18 centuries. It's a long period of time, but 40 geniuses. A genius can absorb from a prior genius exactly what he has to know. So that made the Mesorah into Kadur Shel Banot. And yet we're left with the reality that according to the simple explanation of the Gemara, and as Rav Shir Gaon understood it, and the Marsha as well, Machloka did not have to be. Did not have to be. But rather because of the paucity of learning or the difficult circumstances in which they tried to learn, machlokot arose. The Rambam disagrees with this vehemently. And the Rambam writes in his Akdama to the Mishnah that Svarat Misha Chashav, the idea of the people who think that dinim that have machloket, Moshe received it that way, and a machloket came about because of some mistake in the Kabbalah, or shikha, someone forgot something, or someone got it right and someone got the Mesorah wrong, or sheshachach, or forgot, or lo shama mirabo koma shetzarach l'shmoa, or he didn't hear correctly, and he brings a rai from this Gemara that misherabu matamide shamai vehil shal shimshu kol tzarkon rof the machlok b'sunash tor kishtei torot. Anyone who thinks that, Rambam says, hinei zechai Hashem, davar migune umuzar meod. It is a despicable and strange statement. Davar bilti nachon lo matim lakalim. It is incorrect. It does not comport at all with our understanding of the Mesorah. V'choshed banashim shemem kibalu natara. And such a person is choshed, he suspects wrongfully the Bali Mesorah of making mistakes. V'chol ze batel. All that is null and void. V'viotam lidei hashkafa nifsedet zo mi'ut yediyat devrei chachamim ha'nimtzim b'talmud. And the only one who believes this are people who have such a flawed understanding of the Gemara. They don't understand it at all. Lo evdilu bein haklem ha'kubalim v'chidushim shenil medu b'darkin. They cannot distinguish between people and between the principles that were enunciated and how the Torah is to be understood. So according to the Rambam, God forbid you should think machlokot arose because of something unfortunate in Jewish life. Rather, machlokot were built into the system. Why that is, we'll discuss in a moment. That it is in fact proven by the Mishnah, by the Yerushalmi in Masechet Sanhedrin, Perek Dalet, Halacha Chet. There the Yerushalmi quotes Reb Yanai, who says as follows, Ilud nitna hatara chatucha lo hayta l'regel amida. If the Torah were given to us, chatucha, meaning psak halacha, like a law book, like the U.S. Code, just tell us what we can do, what we can't do. If the Torah were given to us in that way, chatucha, it could never have endured. Meaning, the Pnei Moshe says, if the Torah was given to us just psak halacha, belonet tiyadat lekan ulekan, it was given to us psak halacha, without understanding the sides, the two sides, it would never have endured. Lo hayakim olam datar tzarach tzarach shtiyeh nidreshet panim lekan ulekan kidu lekamei ve'elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim. The Torah has to be expounded in all its facets, all its different ways. Shivim panim la Torah. There's 70 different facets to the Torah. Of course, Rav Aviner says that means there's also 71 or 72, and those excesses are outside the system of Torah. But within the system of Torah, you have elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim, because halacha kebeit hil, the Gemara continues, that you have to paskin, but nonetheless it remains a valid idea in the Torah. Why should it even be included in the Torah? Like, why isn't a rejected minority opinion erased and not considered? What do you think? Because it has value. It has value first in the idea that later generations should not think that another approach was not considered. And secondly, because even the rejected approach could have value given other sorts of extenuating circumstances, like Hefsed Maruba, or Tzorech, or Shat Hadchak, etc. Then, in those situations, we're able to access that opinion in conjunction with other leniencies and say, maybe in this particular instance, we can rely on that rejected opinion. That happens all the time in halacha. That's why it's there. I'm sorry?
Not only that, but you can also compare the stricter, more the followed and rejected opinion to actually try to find.
Yes, you're right. In other words, if you didn't know the rejected opinion, you would not know the svara of the side that sort of prevailed. But you wouldn't know the svar at all, in fact, if it's not written. You just have so-and-so says it's mutter, and that's the end of it. But you wouldn't know why, what basis this particular instance was mutter, what facts contributed to that heter or to that psul. You wouldn't know unless you knew what the other opinion was, and then you're able to argue the two sides. So correct, Talmud Torah would be limited. That's why Yerushalmi says that would be chatucha, just given the conclusion, the decision, the verdict, the fact. If that would be all that you knew, you would not be able to have a Torah that would be able to respond in future generations to new circumstances. Because all you'd have is the case before you. That, in fact, is a problem in every system of law. I mean, it's an acute problem in the secular systems, like American law, because a new situation arises. So the courts, the appellate courts, try to look to precedent, but very often it just becomes their personal preferences. Sadly, that's how the Supreme Court operates today. You like this? We'll find grounds to favor it. We don't like it? We'll find grounds to oppose it, without it being completely rooted in any system. The Torah is not like that. You have a situation where someone passing something completely against the Torah, and it's accepted. In cases, occasionally it happens as well. I remember hearing one case a couple of years ago. Someone wrote a sefer or wrote a tshuva in the 1920s, permitting yibum al yidei shaliach. All right, they were dealing with a particular issue in the in trying to get yibum out of the Soviet Union, which already by then had closed access to visitors and did not let anyone leave. So someone in Yibum couldn't get it, so someone paskined in Europe, you could do Yibum al Yidei Shaliach. Aye, the Gemara explicitly rejects that. So all the Rabbanim rejected that as well, and they saw it really as having no other option. But that's not to say it can be done or should have been done. I'm only telling you that historically that was done. So according to the Rambam, and according to the way the Rishami understands it, that's why the Talmidei Chachamim were Balei HaSupot. They sat in assemblies, they had the different opinions, they shared their opinions, and they all realized, Nitnu Meroa Echad. It all came from one shepherd, Kel Echad Nitanon, one God gave them, and that is Kabbalat HaTorah. Now, how did it come about? So the Rambam continues in his Hakdama to the Mishnah, that when the Gemara says that Talmidei Shammai v'Hillel Shimshu Kol Tzarkon Inyan Davar Zeh Barur Ma'od, he said this is very clear. So why is it that Shammai and Hillel disagreed so little? and their Talmidim disagreed so much. How did that happen in such a short period of time? So Rambam posits that if you have two people who are equal in intellect and in their analytical abilities, and they understand on the same level the klalim, the principles by which the Torah is to be understood, lotia beinei machloket b'mashem omdim b'achal emidah b'shem ponem. The nevah machloket. They're on the same level. They learn from the same Rebbe. They have the same malach, the same approach. So it's not going to, there's not going to be any machlokot. And if there are tiyeh, tiyeh mu'etet. It'll be very few. And he means those three machlokot of Hillel and Shammai. Lefi shedarkei limudah mechol ma shehoyu lomdim oto b'achal emidot. Hayu kravim zelazah. The way they learned and their intellectual abilities were so symmetrical that why would they argue? But kashenit meid limud talmidehem v'nechlu shatzlam dark adin bashval l'shamay v'hillel rabotayem. The next generation, though, already you had a variance in their intellectual levels as well as their abilities to learn from their rebbeim. They're not Shammai and Hillel anymore. Then everyone, kol echad mehem don lefi koach sichlo. Everyone is now operating based on their own intellectual capabilities and the klalim that are known to them, and so they're going to be additional machlokot. But the Rambam says, ein lashimam bekach. You can't blame people for that, because we can't force two people who are having a dispute to have the seichel, the intellect, of Yeshua and Pinchas, geniuses. You can't. We can't castigate them because they're not on the level of Hillel and Shammai. Who is, after all? This is how machloket began to arise. Lo sheto bekabalatam bekabalat echad emet vasheni b'teila. Not that there was some mistake in the way they heard it, and one said something true, the other said something false. No, it's not like that at all. It's just human nature. You have no other way of dealing with people on different levels. They're going to approach from a different perspective. Someone who sits on the left is looking at me a little differently than someone who sits on the right. I hope you're hearing the same thing. But nonetheless, the perspective on any event is going to be different. That's why, for example, there's a day in the Gemara that requires two Edim witnessing an event to see it standing in the same place. You can't have one mitzad zeh, the other mitzad acher, because then they are not, in fact, looking at the same thing. They're seeing it differently, and what they see is subject to dispute. Rashi said this in a little different way. Rashi's in Ketubat Avnun Zayin Amad Aleph. And then Rashi really goes through what I would say is anatomy of a machloket. And he says when two amorim disagree about what a Tana said, hochi omar ploni, marmar hochi omar ploni, one says this is what Rav Yehuda said, or Rav said, and the other says no, this is what Rav Yehuda, Rav said. So then chad minay mishakir. One has to be wrong. They can't both be right. One guy could not have said two different things unless he's referring to different cases, which is somehow the Gemara resolves it. Avol, Rashi again, ki pligi tre amoroi bedin o beisur beheter. If two amorim have an argument, a dispute, on some halacha, in any realm, kol chad amar hochi mistabret taima, and each one gives his own opinion, his own svara, ein kan sheker. There's no falsehood. Kol chad v'chad svara didei kamar. Each one is just bringing his own reasoning to a new situation. Mario of Taimala Tera, Umario of Taimali Sura. One person is bringing a reason why he's Matir, the others bring his reason why, no, it's Asur. Mar Medame Milta La Milta Hachi, Umar Medame Lebe Inyon Achrino. One analogizes to this case, and the other says, no, the correct analogy is to some other case. Vikala Meimar, Elu Velu Divrei Elokim Chayim. You could say that both, in fact, are the words of the living God, both a part of the halachic system. Zimnim Deshaya Chaytaimah, Vizim Deshaya Chaytaimah. In one circumstance, this reasoning will apply. In another, the other reasoning. Shinui muat. Such a key phrase. Because the conclusion can vary based on a change in one fact. Meaning one fact can change an entire psak. That's why you ask the Shiloh, so you have to try to get as humanly possible all the facts. Because the person can leave out one fact and you can go from usur to mutter, just because one fact will change. And that's critical to understanding really any area of law. A lot of law school, probably too much of law school is like that. It's just examination of case law, and you try to extract the facts that created the holding, meaning the ruling, and exclude from that everything that's unnecessary, which they call dicta. What is the key point at issue? What is, we'll say in halachic terms, the nukudat ha-machloket? At what point are they arguing? So those 2 points, those will make the machloket. So now we can understand at least what happened in this first machloket. What was so great? You would like to think the first machloket they couldn't resolve in like something dramatic. In fact, it's not so dramatic. It really is just very prosaic. Smicha b'yom tov. Can you do smicha on an animal when you bring it to the Beit HaMikdash? So what's the machloket? So smicha is reshut. It's not ma'akev the karbon. So the question is, and of course an animal is muktzah. So the question is, does the heter avoda on yom tov mean only things that are ma'akev, or even those that are not ma'akev? Meaning once you bring in the karbon, everything that's normally part of a ma'isa havat karbon is going to be mutar. That's a good machloket. You could see the 2 sides. Why couldn't they resolve it? Bring it to a vote, like they did for the previous millennium. Why didn't they? See, here you have a beautiful pshat by Rav Reuven Margoliot, who lived here, died about 45 years ago or so, wrote many, many svarim, very creative thinker, and he said that's why at the end of that Mishnah, the Mishnah noted, Harishanim ayu nisiim, ushnim lehem avot beitin. In each of the zugot, one was the nasi and one was the abeitin. The first the nasi, the second the abeitin. And he explains that there was a corollary to this idea of bringing something to a vote in Sanhedrin. That would be in the ordinary case, meaning every case except where the nasi and the avbeitin had a machloket. If they disagreed, then there was permission for the next generation of nasiim and avot beitin to rekindle that machloket and see where it leads. So it turns out this was the only machloket that they were not able to resolve. That's why it kept being transmitted from generation to generation. But that was the first machloket, and this is a couple of centuries even before Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. Now a similar point is made in the Drashot Haran, which I'd refer to all of you, Drush HaShlishi, and there he's talking about, in great depth actually, the Mesorah and the transmission of the Torah Shema Peh. Of course, the Ran lived in the early 1400s. So he said, "How's it?" Asked the question, "Ech nemar sheshtei kitot ha-machloket nemar l'Moshe mipi ha-Gvura?" How is it possible that both sides of machloket were told to Moshe by Hashem at Sinai? All right, because we would think one has to be dat amiti and the other dat hefcho can't be. So he said it's not true. And here he quotes the Gemara in Megillah, Daf Yotet Amud Bet, Milamet similar to Rishalmi and Peah, Milamet Sheher Eir Kadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe Kol Dikduke Torah V'Dikduke Sofrim U'Masha Sofrim Atidim L'Chadesh. What's the God showed Moshe? All the Dikduke Torah, the fine points of Torah, the fine points of the Chachamim, and what they be Mechadesh. What are Dikduke Sofrim? So the Ran says, Hema machloket v'chiluke svar shemin chachma Yisrael. These are the disputes that the Chachamim will have over time. V'chulam l'mdan Moshe Rabbeinu alva shalom mipi ha-gvura. This Moshe Rabbeinu learned from Hashem, Shetia hachra kefi haskamat chachmei ador. How would it be resolved? It would be resolved according to the majority, the agreement of the Chachmei Ador. In fact, That's what the Rishalmi and Sanhedrin said when Rabbi Yannai said that the Torah was not given to us chatucha. Moshe said to Hashem, Ribono Shalom, Hodieni Heche Halacha, tell me what the halacha is. Don't give me all the different opinions. I knew people like that. I would call them the meat and potatoes people. They just wanted the halacha. They didn't want to know anything behind it. So God said to Moshe, this is the halacha. Acharei Rabim Latot, you follow majority. Rabu Hamizakin Zachu, Rabu Hamechayvin Chivu, Kadesha Teator Nidreshet, Memtet Panim Tomei, Umemtet Panim Tahor, Minyan Vidiglo, Vidiglo Alai Hava, Vidiglo Gamachis Memtet. You have 49 different ways of understanding the Torah. Tahor, Tomei, Vuchule. That's the run. So, how then does the individual resolve an issue, approach an issue? He said everyone has to follow their Seichel Hayashar, their honest intuition, follow their intellects, and Hachra is Al Pi Chachmei Hador. Rav Kook said a similar point in a very, very fascinating way. So we say famously, Talmid Chachamim Marbim Shalom Ba'olam. Talmid Chachamim increase the peace in the world. So how is that done? Doesn't always happen like that. Rav Kook said, no, it's in Einayah, the end of Brachot. He says, no, Tamicha Marm Shalom Ba'olam through Machloket. Why? Because we think that when you have all these different sides, it causes Machloket. The Machloket is Hefech HaShalom. He says, no, Bemet Eino Nachon, Keshalom Amiti, Eif Shashivo La'olam, Kim Dafke Dei Ha'erech Shal Ribuy HaShalom. HaRibuy HaShalom Hu Shiit Ra'u, Kol HaTzadim HaShitot. The way peace is increased in the world is when all opinions are shared and uttered and considered and debated. That's what increases the peace. You need multi-gvanim, you need the multiple dimensions, multiple aspects of Torah to be considered. If there's only one, like the fellow said before, if we just had mutter and not also, we didn't know the other side, then the Torah is lacking something. That's not shalom, because then there's a side that feels it's not being heard at all. No, the side has to be heard, and it comes to Achra, has to understand what's behind it, what exactly is the Svara. And the Netziv says something so fascinating, it's an introduction to the Shiltot of Rabbi Achai Gaon, on which he wrote the first commentary of the Netziv, to Kidmat Ha'emek. So the Torah says, "Mimino eish dot lamo," that from God's right hand, kiviyachal, He gave us an eish dot. What's an eish dot? In v'zot habracha, the end of the Torah. What's an eish dot? A fiery faith. What's the difference between a dot and an eish, a faith and a fire? So the Netziv said that there's shnei chelkei Torah. There are two parts of Torah. There's one part, chelek hamivu'ar lakol, something that's explained to everyone. Vehema dinim chatuchim, these are the fixed laws, or these are the concluded laws. They're set already. Ladat malasot velo yavor, to know what you have to do, and not to violate, not go over a particular halacha. Vezen nikra dat. That is what a dat is. A dat, as the Pasuk says in the Megillat Esther, kidat malasot, to know what has to be done, meaning decreed, finalized, this is the law. That's one chelek of the Torah, the fixed laws that we receive. But there's a second chelek, chelek hamichuseh, ad shevul achakira vehekeshim, ad sheitze laor, vizehu eish, shumitchalek lekama nitzotzot, v'chol nitzot, motzi avuka gedola, kashet chabrui lov, odeitzim v'chadome, there's another part of Torah, a more hidden part of Torah, a murkier part of Torah, which is comparable to fire. Meaning, what's fire? Fire is flaming in all different directions, but fire can light a spark, can light a twig, and the flame then burns from one to another. Meaning, one chakira, one hekesh, one idea is going to lead to another idea. That's how the Torah is. Kipati shofotzat sela. Torah is creative. Torah is evolving in that sense. Torah is always responding to new situations. It's not frozen or paralyzed. It's vibrant. It's alive. It's Eitzchaimi lamachazikim bo. It's alive. So it says something to every generation and can deal with the problems and issues of every generation. Meirosh mikeda mimayoshua ve'elach nafal svekar ashenechlegu gadolei ador v'nimru v'gamru. So what would happen? From the earliest times, the Netziv writes, there are always machlokot, but they resolve it in the early centuries through a vote in the Sanhedrin. So when something is eish, meaning it can't be controlled yet, because all the ideas are there and hasn't yet achieved some finality, then it's eish. Once they vote, then nasidat me'eish. Then from the fire comes the dat, comes the fixed faith, the fixed religion, and that's mimino eish dot lamo. God gave us a Torah that is both a dat and it is eish as well. Now, there is this flexibility in Torah, which enables the Torah to respond to all new challenges. We have to understand, when the Gemara says, lo shimshu kol tzarkon, it's not giving the reason why machlokot arose, but rather the proximate cause for its emergence at that particular point in history. Because then, no longer was the Sanhedrin accessible enough, it should be able to resolve all issues. Certainly not when it was banished from the Lishkat HaGozit. But according to this, that was supposed to happen. And note when it happened, right on the eve of Galut. If the Torah had been frozen in place at the time of the Churban, then, God forbid, it would be like the Druze, who have religion that doesn't speak to new situations, and is basically frozen where it was many, many centuries in the past. But the way the system was set up as an eish dat, not as chatucha, but something that's darshened, panim lekanu, panim lekan, it enables the Torah to respond to new challenges and new situations, allows it to flourish and to thrive in every generation, and all according to what Moshe received at Sinai. So we shouldn't confuse, though, this intellectual creativity in the Torah with halachic weight. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin Daf Yud Zayin, "Ein Moshevim Sanhedrin Elam Yishadei L'Tarat Hasheretz Min HaTorah." No one can sit on the Sanhedrin unless they had the intellectual creativity to be metaher a sheretz min HaTorah, to find ways why sheretz is tar. A sheretz is not tar. Yes, but you could have analogies. Where there's a kavachomer why you'd argue that it was. But the Shemi Shmuel says here, you should always bear in mind, sof davar she lo sofar she taran legamrei. It's not the saying a sheretz is tar, but rather you need that type of intellectual openness in order to understand it. What is not rooted in Sinai, meaning comes from the outside, eventually withers. What is rooted in Sinai sustains us until this day. And I want to share one last point, only because it's not entirely clear to me, but it's a fascinating point that even goes beyond the realm of Machloket and trying to understand why it is that Jews argue so much. There's something in one of the Alanei Shabbat, B'Avavim, I read a couple of weeks ago, from Rav Oren Tarbeltzi. And he quotes Rav Kook. And Rav Kook was answering this question as well. Rav Kook is in Ein Ayah Masechet Shema, the first parak, which is talking about how is it possible that the brothers of Yosef reached a level of jealousy that they would sell their brother Yosef. How is it possible? I mean, normal people are jealous. Great people have midot gruot as well. No one is perfect. But how did he reach such a level of jealousy whereby they sold him? So he explains that Jews are given a special nature. We're compared to the Kochavim. The Pasuk says about the Kochavim, we say in the davening every morning, L'chulam shemot yikra. Everyone has, every star has a name. Every Jew has a name, meaning every Jew is a chashivah, is an olam bifnei atzmo, as opposed to umot ha'olam, the nations of the world. So each nation has a mission. You can't say that each individual within the nation has a mission or a submission. The nation as a whole, not so for a Jew. Every Jew has a tafkid, and therefore, for every Jew, his emet, his truth, is going to be paramount in his mind, and he's going to fight for it. And he writes, that's why we find amongst Jews the extremes. The extremes. And not just a little kinah. Kinah, sell your brother. All right? I always say, that's why we don't find amongst Jews a Ponzi scheme. All right? Ponzi was a shoplifter compared to Madoff. Madoff stole billions and tens of billions of dollars. All right? We can't have a regular Goslin. We're the top of the list. By the same token, in terms of bad midot, good midot as well. There's no question the chesed you find amongst the Jewish people, the goodness, the empathy, etc. It's also extreme. It's also off the charts. Rav Kook said, we tend to be in the extremes for every midah, and machloket is the same way. And that's why you find, for example, Jews who are against the Jewish people or against Israel. You ever hear of a Portuguese who's against Portugal? Or an Italian who wants to overthrow Italy? You don't hear such a thing. Only in the context of Jews do you find such a thing. Because since each Jew, l'chulam shemot yikra, everyone a chashivut, everyone clings to his truth and fights for it. Someone who does that, eino muchan l'pasher alar bekalut, he's not giving it up easily. That's why we tend to be more argumentative, more contentious, even more acrimonious. We have a special propensity for chiluke deyot, for division of opinion, more than you'll find in any other nation. That exists in a personal context. Of course, in a religious context, you see, that's the way the system was supposed to be. It's not an accident or a flaw that machlokot arose. It's exactly the contrary. As Yerushalmi makes clear in several cases, and the Rishonim as well, that is exactly how the system was set up and why it was set up, so the Torah should always remain Eitz Chaim Hi L'machazikim Bo. Okay, I've enjoyed it very much this year. I look forward to seeing so many of you next year as well. And all of you, if I can be of any assistance to you in the future, please feel free to call on me. And Hatzlacha Rabbah to everyone.